everyone, and welcome to this week's show. The Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers is a weekly program that's designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. And we got a great show for you today. We're going to be looking at job search skills. And on the program is Mr. Joe Carroll. He's written a book called How to Get a Great Job in 90 Days or Less. And he's targeting you and me as he goes through his discussion today. We'll be back with Joe in just a few minutes right after this on The Journey of Hope. Coming up next week, we have a special program for all the ladies out there. Whether you're an ex-offender or you're waiting for someone to come home, my guest, Jennifer Maggio, has a great message for you. You're not going to want to miss Jennifer Maggio next week on The Journey of Hope. Everybody, and welcome back. We have on the phone with us Joe Carroll. Joe is an expert in job search strategies. He's got over 20 years experience in human resource management, and he's written an excellent book called How to Get a Great Job in 90 Days or Less. Joe, how are you?
I am fantastic, Rodney. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Okay, Joe, now look, you know, on this show we have, as an audience, ex-offenders, people who struggle with finding work when they come home from prison. And so I've got to ask you what we call the question, okay? Anytime we have somebody on here where we talk about job search strategies and so forth, the question is, how do we address the resume time gap issue? On our resume, what do we do about the time gap? What are your feelings on that?
That's a great question. In fact, I just happened to have some experience helping a gentleman that was actually in prison for over 10 years in voluntary manslaughter. And he was released, good behavior, and was able to help him secure a job in about 3 months.
Okay.
It's definitely possible to get work, even though you may have spent some time in prison. But as far as job gaps go, okay, number one, you can never lie on a resume, okay? Because if you do, eventually you'll be found out. So, yeah, honesty is the best policy. But there are ways to develop a resume where it doesn't bring too much attention to it. I mean, one approach, for example, you can write a functional resume. Instead of focusing on the timelines in your experience, focus more on your accomplishments, and let that be the first one or two pages of your resume, where you're attempting to generate interest. But I will tell you though that the resume in and of itself is not going to get you that job.
Okay.
I mean, everyone needs a resume, and it's not going to get you the job, actually. The best way to get a job is to become a referred employee. What you want to do is you want to circumvent the Human Resources Department. And I have nothing against HR. I'm a vice president of Human Resources myself. Mm-hmm. Have been for many, many years now. So I have nothing against HR, but I will tell you and tell your audience that HR will definitely screen you out. And so your goal is to go around HR and try to hook up with the decision maker.
Okay.
And this is basic sales 101, if you stop and think about it. Someone in sales is, he's not dealing with the lower end supervisor or manager. He's looking for the person in that organization that can make the decision to buy his or her product. Same thing in job search. Very, very similar. And you are the product, okay? Mm-hmm. You are that piece of merchandise. And you are trying to find that decision maker in that company that can hire you, regardless of your background in prison.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why it works. If that person likes you, I don't care if you're in jail 5, 10, 20 years. If that person likes you, that person will hire you. Simple as that. You know, referrals are incredible. I mean, ever since we were kids, I'm sure you probably remember yourself. Your mother was, when you were a kid, your mother probably told you, Rodney, never talk to strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of flows over into corporate America. Companies do not like to hire strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they do background checks, because they're concerned about that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have 300 resumes on my desk, and someone down the hall comes into my office and gives me a resume of someone that he or she knows, where do you think that resume is going to go?
Yeah.
It's going to go right on the top of that pile of those
right.
300 resumes.
Right.
And that person, and this is going to make absolute no sense to you at all, but that person may be less qualified but has a better chance of getting that job because he's a referred employee over someone who is more qualified but is not coming in the front door as a referred employee.
Okay.
So that's the key. The key is, identifying the decision maker through developing your contacts in your networks.
Well, in that situation, Joe, it seems like it would probably be a little bit easier to get the interview, but you still, during the interview, would have to address the time gap, right? I mean...
Yeah, eventually it will come up in a conversation. But your goal is you're looking to get in the front door as a referral, getting a recommendation by someone,
mm-hmm.
and then allowing that communication and relationship with that decision maker to overcome any obstacles that may be in your past, such as, doing some time in jail.
Okay. Well, what about...
You're wanting the decision maker to forgive you for that and say, let's move forward.
Okay. Well, yeah, by the way, you get an A+ on handling the question. You did good. Let me ask you this then. If going by what you're saying, you're in looking at your website and so forth, you're huge on networking. I mean, you believe that that's where it's at, and I do too, frankly. But what about using, like, the Internet when you first come home to look for a job? Is there any effectiveness in that at all?
Okay, well, with the Internet, I tell people that, sure, go ahead and use the Internet, but don't fall into the trap of spending hours and hours in front of your computer sending out hundreds of resumes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you get a job over the Internet? Sure. Can you develop contacts through things like Facebook and LinkedIn and other social websites? Sure. But my advice is that it should not be consuming the bulk of your time. Time management is very important in job search.
Mm-hmm.
And, weeks and months can go by real quick. The problem with the Internet is this, in a nutshell. when you are sending out your resume to an opening that you come up, let's say Career Builder or Monster or some other job board, you are literally competing with hundreds and hundreds of other candidates. Mm-hmm. It's basically what I call a cattle drive. Mm-hmm. And you want to avoid the cattle drive at all costs. So you don't want to be competing with 300 other people. What you want to do is get that job before the company advertises the job. Mm-hmm. And the way you do that is by your networking and your coming into contact with people who have openings or who know about openings and can tell you about it before they decide to start looking officially, you know, like putting their job openings on their website or putting it out on the job boards.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's switch gears here just a little bit. I'm interested in what you say about you have a strategy to align your purpose and your talents and your goals to get a job that is viable for you to reach your potential in. How does one go about aligning those things?
Well, the whole thing with that is this, most people, if you ask the average person in the street, you know, are you happy doing what you're doing in your job? The majority of people that you would pose that question to, they're going to say, no, I'm not that happy. I'm not that thrilled. And the reason for that, Rodney, is that most people just fall into jobs. Or they get a job because they need to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with their purpose, their passion, their talents. Mm-hmm. And so why are most people not happy in their jobs? Because in my view, they are not, their talents, their purpose, and passion is not in alignment with what they do for a living. So what they love to do and what they actually do for some company is out of sync. Mm-hmm. And when you're out of sync, you're not working on all four cylinders. It's kind of like the octane thing with the cars. You may have a car that requires high octane, okay? And now, you could put in low octane gas. I mean, that's going to make that car go. But over time, it's going to cause that car to break down, and you're going to have engine problems. Same thing with your career. You need to fuel your career with your purpose, with your passion, your talents, and your interests, and your preferences. And when you do that, you are going to become a very, very valuable employee for some company because what you're doing, you're loving to do, and the old expression, if you love what you do, you don't even call it work. It's not work. You know, you're just having a ball. And you become very, very productive and very, very valuable for that company if you're doing what you love to do as opposed to doing something that you're just collecting a paycheck and you have no interest in a job, and you'll probably eventually wind up leaving that job eventually because you don't enjoy doing what you're doing.
Okay, here's the next question I have for you then. Given everything you just said, with this audience, and me included, we often have to take those kinds of jobs that we don't particularly care for because we have to pay the bills, okay? And my question would be this. Is it possible to find within an organization, even if you start at the lower levels, positions that you can flourish in and work towards filling those positions in that organization? Let's say, for example, you go to work for a landscaping company and you're cutting yards, okay? Is it possible to look for something within that organization and use the networking there in order to advance yourself and find yourself in something you're happier with?
It is absolutely possible, but you have to make sure that you're starting at the bottom, but you want to make sure that the company that you're going to work for at the bottom has those job opportunities. You're looking for a company growth. You're looking for a company that promotes from within. You're looking for companies that perhaps have training programs and give you opportunities to expand your skill set so you're not stuck. For example, there are many mail rooms out there in corporate America. Mm-hmm. Probably the average mail room is that most of those people are stuck in the mail room. They don't have any other place to go. And they can be in that mail room for 20 years, mm-hmm. sorting mail. If you take another company that, let's say, manages mirror rooms, and they have many different accounts in small, medium, and large mirror rooms all over the place, then you can get promoted, let's say, from a small mirror room to a larger mirror room, make more money, and get more responsibility. I know one fellow that, heck, I hired this fellow 12 years ago. Started out as a service specialist. Didn't even have a college degree. He was a bartender. Came in making $7.50 an hour. And today he's a vice president.
Wow.
So it took time.
So it's possible.
Effort, but, you know, it's a great success story.
So let's back up just a little bit, and I know we're kind of going backwards here, but let's talk about the actual job search. Let's say you're coming home from prison, you're starting at square one. Talk to me a little bit about how a person should, say, structure their day in terms of a job search. What kinds of activities should they do in terms of internet versus knocking on doors versus emailing resumes? How would a good structured job search day look?
Well, I would say probably it's the number one important thing is to realize that looking for a job is a full-time job. And when you're at home, it's very easy to get distracted. There are things to do perhaps around the apartment or the house. But when you get up in the morning, you kind of have to visualize in your head that you're going to work. And so what is your job when you're going to work? Your job is you're looking for a job. That's your job. And it's a full-time job. It's not, get in front of the computer for an hour or two in the morning and then calling it a day. It's a full-time job. I would even get dressed up as if you were going to work. Look like you're going to work. Visualize it. Visualize that job that you'll have in 3 months. And now, as far as time management goes, the key thing is getting belly-to-belly meetings, okay? Belly-to-belly meetings is not sitting in front of a computer for 7 hours a day. You're working the phones. And so I would advise people to make at least 10 what I call warm calls a day. What is a warm call? You're calling someone you may not necessarily know, but you have a name, and perhaps you have a common cloak of familiarity, a bond of some connection where that person is willing to help you. So, for example, could be perhaps a fellow member of a church. Or maybe you're both members of an association, or perhaps a former alumni of some college. But people want to help. That's number one. And your audience should know this, or they should know this, that people definitely want to help if they can. But if you, let's say, make a phone call and you say, Rodney, I need a job. Can you help me? Chances are Rodney is not going to have a job, and that's the end of the conversation. But in networking and in managing your time and while making these phone calls, you're looking to develop a conversation. And so let's say you target 25 companies that you think you would like to work for, okay, based on location, based on size, based on the industry, et cetera, et cetera. And then you want to identify people that can help you network with those 25 companies. So you get on the phone, and you're calling people up that, let's say, we'll just pick an association, the JCs or the Chamber of Commerce or the YMCA, whatever. But this person is a member of that organization. And you call up, and instead of saying to this person, I'm looking for a job, you say, I'm a fellow member of this association, and I was wondering if you can help me with my target list of companies I'm currently looking to try to connect with. Now, that is a whole different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
With that question, you're opening up dialogue. You're opening up opportunity for someone else to help you, as opposed to, I need a job. And they can't help you because they don't have a job for you. But you're looking to open up conversations and developing relationships with people. Because that person that you talk to today, 2 weeks from now, that person might be sitting down with Jane. And Jane is saying to him, you know what, I'm looking for this person that can do this, this, and this. And then the guy that you call and says, you know what, I know the perfect candidate for that. I was just talking to him 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Let me introduce you to him. And that's kind of how it happens.
Hmm.
And happens like that 75% of the time in getting new jobs.
And let me just throw in there real quick that I have no qualms at all about, networking at church or at 12-step meetings. I mean, that's not the purpose you're going there, but there's nothing wrong with meeting some people there and filling out the job situation. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Wouldn't you agree?
Here's the key. You can go to, I don't care what organization it is, you can go there and just start asking for help. You need to, I'm a big believer in, what goes around comes around.
Mm-hmm.
And do unto others.
Mm-hmm.
So the key thing is to help people in that organization. Join the welcoming committee, or get involved in the association.
Mm-hmm.
And help help others.
Yeah.
Eventually, conversation is going to come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you can maybe pull out your list of 25 companies and that would be a great, subject of conversation.
I really like what... Go ahead.
Initially, out the gate, you're looking to help others.
Well, I really like the things that you had to say about the structure of the job search day, and I noticed that one of the chapters in your book has to do with fitness. How does that play into the job search?
I'll tell you, fitness is really important because, if you're not in good shape, I mean, one-third of all Americans die due to obesity and the lack of good nutrition. When you're in front of an interview or a recruiter, or even in your networking activities, people make judgments. I mean, I remember years ago, and you may remember the TV debate between Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy. Now, before that interview started, Nixon needed a shave. He didn't shave, so he had this shadow, and he refused makeup.
Mm-hmm.
John F. Kennedy, on the other hand, shaved, and allowed the people there to put makeup on his face. So when they were in front of the TV cameras, Kennedy looked much better than Nixon. And at the end of the day, he handily won that debate because of his appearance, his looks.
So,
if you would have listened to that same debate over the radio, you would have thought Nixon won the debate.
Oh, that'd be interesting to do sometime, to listen to it over the radio. I've never done that. I've seen it on TV, but yeah. So the first impression, it does count. And so we want to keep that in mind as well. Joe Carroll.
They'll make that determination within the first 30 seconds of meeting you.
And it's something we need to keep in mind as we go to interview and as we network with people. Joe Carroll, How to Get a Great Job in 90 Days or Less. Excellent book. Highly recommend it. Joe, thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope.
Rodney, it was great talking to you.
My name's Rodney Mathers. We'll be right back after this on the Journey of Hope.
Love hearing from you guys out there and gals. I want you to be sure and drop me a line. Let me know how you're doing. You can do that at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Drop me a line. That's absolutely all the time we have this week. I want to thank my special guest, Mr. Joe Carroll, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey of Hope.